Logan would get the singular goal in this one, and it was a great shot. A wicked backhanded wrister from behind the goal line that would bank in off Rene.
So were you saying that Logan goal was a rocket backhander?
Wow. Well done. Well done. Hey, welcome into the Pucknologist here on TealTownUSA.com. That's right, it is show 43. And as always, I'm your host, AJ Strong. And with me, well, usually we have a couple people that are usually here, but they're on assignment, shall we say. So coming in from the Great White North is the Great White Ian Reed.
That's true. Here I am. Hi, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And from the disturbingly white Walnut Creek, it is Puck Guy.
I'm afraid, you know, I had an intro I was about to do, but now you threw me off just like a Christian Ehrhoff slap shot that went wide.
All right, boys. Since we last looked at the Sharks on the Pucknologist, the boys in teal have amassed themselves a record of 34-21-9, good 477 points. As it stands right now, the Sharks continue to hold the second slot in the Pacific Division as the Kings remain at third with 75 points, Anaheim staying at fourth with 74 points, and Calgary stays at fifth with 73. Very funny. Since the last episode of the Pucknologist, I think all of third, fourth, and fifth, all of the spots like went all over the place, but between the last two shows, still identically the same, but now only 4 points separates second and fifth in the Pacific. The Sharks were out on a road trip since last we left you. Not a good road trip, picking up two losses, an overtime loss, but getting back to the friendly confines of SAP Center and picking up a victory. So we start at Rockets' now hometown, Nashville, where the Sharks took the worst loss of 2018, stinking up the joint by taking a 7-1 loss from the Nashville Predators. But the silver lining, I guess, is Tomáš Hrdl returns in this. I don't know. Aaron Dell gets the start. This was Fair's first game in teal since being acquired by Doug Wilson and company. The Sharks came into this one going 0-13 on the power play and not scoring a power play since the Vegas game 2 weeks earlier. That would be something we would see continue. Ian, first Nashville goal by former Sharks draft pick Nick Bonino, of course, post-heel fever. DeMello got a little outplayed in this one. Dell late to cover. What did you think about the this game with Nashville?
It was just ugly. I mean, it was ugly from start to finish. I thought that the Sharks actually I shouldn't say start to finish, because I thought the Sharks played an okay game until the third period, where they had just clearly checked out at that point. Like by the time that the puck dropped in the third period, like from that point on, they clearly checked out. They were no longer interested in playing. They're just waiting for the clock to hit, you know, to hit end of game. And I think they already started looking to Chicago by that point. I didn't think the first two periods were as bad as maybe the score made them out to be. I thought that the Sharks played an okay game up to that point. They just, the chances that Nashville got, they buried, and sometimes that just happens to you, whereas the Sharks just, you know, couldn't get any puck luck in the first two periods, and Nashville seemed to have all of it.
Absolutely. And the Sharks just gave up way too many looks, way too many shots, way too many chances. Logan would get the singular goal in this one, and it was a great shot. A wicked backhanded wrister from behind the goal line that would bank in off Rene. But after that, Puck Guy, just like Ian said, the wheels just came off as Nashville would finish putting a touchdown on the board.
So were you saying that Logan goal was a rocket backhander?
Wow. Well done. Well
done. Unfortunately, the poor thing, Rocket, got to see her boys for the first time in a long time. And the result, she did not like it. She did not love it. She doesn't want some more of it. Proof again, folks, that you need to have a burrito with Rocket before you play in Nashville. Ian's right. They look like they played it two decent periods. They were in it, and then the wheels just came off in the third. And you know that all together is a team loss all in that sense, because it just as Hockey Trick would say, they looked bad and they really felt bad.
Yeah. It was, I mean, just porous. I'm not even sure which was worse, whether it was the 6-0 defeat in Dallas on New Year's or this one, but
because the Dallas game they were never in.
Yeah, that is true. It really was just taking that fourth period off, looking like they just knew they didn't have it from the start. So the Sharks, of course, would move on to United Center and take on the Chicago Blackhawks. This is not your father's Whitehawks, people. Little different this year, but of course we would see a guy make his NHL career high 42 saves and getting his first win of the season versus the Sharks, because hashtag that is so Sharks. Puck guy, holy cannoli. I mean, 42 saves. So clearly the Sharks were shooting. They just couldn't put any in the net.
Ben Scrivens and his 50-plus save performance as an Oiler against the Sharks called. He wants his performance back. Oh, man. I mean, credit to the Sharks. They pepper the guy with the shots, and I think we even said on After Dark that night, it's like, it didn't feel like they had the amount of shots on goal, because they just kept combing it in and fast. Unfortunately, you know, they didn't get the goals to go their way. They just didn't have the puck luck in that game, in my opinion. But yeah, that was probably one of the more frustrating games the Sharks played this season, because they should have had this game.
Yeah, absolutely. And the singular goal in this one coming from Timo Time, the silver lining, of course, for me, being that that's who I chose in the first goal game guess, so maybe I'll get lucky. Ian, I mean, just, I don't know, was this like a trap game almost? Like, Chicago's not a great team this year. The Preds clearly are. They took the third period off in Nashville. Like, okay, let's just, you know, really come back and make something happen tomorrow. And it's not like they didn't get a lot of rubber on net.
Yeah, but this is one of those games where I think the shots on goal is incredibly misleading. I think that the Sharks had a ton of shots, but not like there wasn't very much in the way of threatening. I mean, this game upset me far more than the Nashville game, because I just felt like the Sharks just weren't in it from the start. Like, this is, you take like the narrative around both games and it's completely flipped. This is the game where they didn't show up. This is the game where they beat themselves. They should have been better in this game. They're capable of better performances, but they were held to just a ton of perimeter shots. They weren't really getting pucks, you know, into prime shooting areas. I don't think that, yeah, I mean, their goalie, Berube, he made a lot of saves, but I don't think a lot of them were of the difficult variety. I don't think the Sharks made it very difficult for the Blackhawks. I think that, you know, again, I don't pin this one on Jones. I just think it was just a porous effort all around. And I just think that it's, out of the two games, this one was actually the more embarrassing for me.
Well, and exactly. And I go back and kind of point to their records right now with those two teams. I mean, this, hey, that was just one of those ones where you're like, what's that smell? Yeah. It's like dead shark. So to finish off this road trip, the Sharks would take themselves to Minnesota. And if you were able to watch the Sharks pregame, you could see that Brent Burns made a little girl's night for like all time by signing an autograph. I thought that girl was going to faint. But anywho, the Sharks take a 2-0 lead and just cannot hold it as the Sharks go on to allow 41 shots. It was crappy, but 2-0 lead, can't hold on to it, and can't even protect get anything going in the overtime, and would take a 3-2 loss in this one. Puck guy, what say you about Soda?
The Sharks had the nightmarish hockey lead. You had the 2-0 lead, and all of a sudden, we thought they were going to win with a 2-0 lead, and then Minnesota thought, let's do that hockey. This is one of those games where the Sharks kind of show the old Sharks, in the sense that, you know, nothing's safe with a lead because they'll get razzled. And sure enough, you know, they played a decent third in that game, and they, I thought, took care of their own in the first two periods. But after that, you know, things just worked out. And then that breakdown in overtime is one of those ones that you go, oh my God, come on, boys. You know better than that.
Back to Ian. You, yeah, no, I was going to say Ian.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I said recently on a different podcast that I do that this, you know, that it's hard to be critical of Peter DeBoer as a whole, as a coach, where I've been very critical of Peter DeBoer when you look at where the Sharks are today and you look at how some of the young guys have come along, it's hard to, you know, be super critical. But I think in this road trip, you get to be critical. You know, going back to the Nashville game, why is Dell starting the Nashville game and Jones starting the Chicago game? You look at this game, why is Brent Burns playing the entire overtime without a break?
Well, and the thing with Dell, there was so much speculation is, oh, are the Sharks showcasing him against one of the best teams in the West for potential trade maneuver?
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't think that people are going to, like, if at this point, like, if you're at this level of hockey and you're a management team, you're going to already have your decision made up. One game isn't going to make up your mind on whether this is a goalie for you or this isn't a goalie for you. I think if they're already looked at the tape, they're going to look at tendencies, they're going to look at stats, and they've already made up their mind by this point of what is going to be their move come the deadline. I don't think that this one game was going to be like, oh man, we should get this Arundel guy. He's pretty good or pretty bad. Or I think most GMs would probably already have their opinions of Arundel at this point. That's just my opinion. Back to the game, though. Eric basically summed it up. A couple of good periods of hockey, and then the third period, it was Chicago all over again. They just didn't have it, and I don't know where it went, but it was just, you know, long road trip, whatever. I mean, points matter at this point, and them, you know, yay, they got a point, but they should have had two.
Well, I mean, not a long road trip. They only played four games. I mean, you know.
but a tough road trip.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Central is a gauntlet this season. So, again, the Sharks would come back to the friendly confines of SAP and picked up a great win, 5-2 over the Canucks. Evander Kane gets his first and second assists on Team Teal on the first two Sharks goals, and hey, even Fair would get into the mix on this one, picking up his first point in Teal. Ian, how'd you like that hockey there?
I like that hockey. That hockey was good. That was one of the more enjoyable games. I mean, after what we had kind of been forced to endure after that St. Louis game, I mean, it was nice to see the Sharks put a decent effort up and get a win on the board. I mean, Evander Kane was great, and I think he addresses so many needs that the Sharks, you know, supposedly need, with all that's been written about how they're not tough enough or blah 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 blah. I mean, he did everything. He got an assist on a play that probably should have been a penalty, but you know what, with the way the Sharks have been officiated, I'll take it.
Absolutely. And did I say the Canucks? I'm a moron. I meant the Oilers.
I was going to say, wait a minute, I get to break out Shorthouse again?
Wow.
Yeah, no, you know what? It was that I was just, I was already geared in on, like, for some reason, like Western Canada. And then I'm looking at some stats here. And anyway, yeah, so obviously I was talking about the Oilers. So, Eric, you were at the game. What'd you think?
Yes. It was a great game. They started out slow. I think they were just trying to figure out the new lines of sorts, because there was a lot of mumbo jumbo, although they should be used to it with the line blending that's been going on through the season. But they started getting their work going. In the second period, they seemed like they were really starting to pick up the pace with it. And then they just dominated that second period, and then for the most part shut down in the third. They did let that one goal in the third to Edmonton, but that was it. I thought Jones had a decent performance in that one. Evander Kane, as you guys said, yeah, that's how you win a crowd over. And definitely helps. Fair had a great night as well. PK did pretty good overall in this evening. But yeah, that's a game that the Sharks needed after that frustrating road trip. So therein lies, you need to build the momentum for crap, why am I losing my mind? But just to finish off the road, Chicago and then Columbus, and then head out on that road trip. You know, it's just going to be keep going. Furthermore on the homestand, then get onto the road trip, and then we'll steal the title from Vegas. Back to you, AJ.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think that the Vegas Golden Knights are going to play LA every game for the rest of the schedule.
So yeah. Damn it! Come on.
Well, that would be interesting. Not going to happen. So we'll move on to Shark Bites. And of course, we have to talk about the trade. Danny O'Regan, I'm really going to miss this guy. Kidding. Oh. No, come on.
Ian, your thoughts.
Yeah, no, it's all about Evander Kane filling it, just a huge hole left by, you know, Patrick Marleau and to a lesser extent, Michael Haley. You know what I mean? So Evander Kane traded to San Jose for Danny O'Regan, a 2019 conditional first round pick, which will drop to second if Kane does not re-sign with the Sharks, and a 2019 fourth round pick conditionally that it can be pushed out to 2020 and moved up to be a third.
The pick's also lottery protected as well.
Yes. So, Eric, tell me that Kane is going to extend and this is not another goddamn rental.
Yes, if I can see into my psychic mind, I would see that he would be extended during the parade down West Santa Clara Street in June. As much as I would like for him to extend, it's going to be tough. And with the leadership here, I mean, shoot, Jumbo picked him up at the airport at midnight, for crying out loud.
What else does Jumbo have to do right now, really?
Well, that's true. But I mean, if he plays well and he gels well, it's going to be a nice fit. And I think the guy said on After Dark the other night that this is essentially the replacement for Marleau if he does resign. You have a speedy winger who can score, he can pass, he has a little feistiness, as we saw against the game against the Oilers, which will help in the long run. So he can do a lot of things for the team. Let's hope that it entails great stuff overall for Team Teal.
Yeah. Ian, how excited are you to have Kane here? Because I know a lot of people, and I was kind of one of them at the very first, where I was kind of like, I don't know that I like this deal, but I think I was letting Kane's personal crap from a couple seasons ago kind of affect it. He hasn't had any problems the last 2 years. And this looks like this could be a fantastic fit.
Yeah, I like the deal. I think that for one, I mean, a lot of people immediately compared it to Brian Campbell, but I mean, there's so many little doohickey clauses in this thing. It's lottery protected. It's, you know, it turns into a second if he doesn't resign. Like Doug Wilson definitely covered his bases. You have to take chances. I mean, you can't just not take chances and be successful in this league. But I feel like Doug Wilson really did a good job of minimizing, you know, on a hockey level anyway, minimizing the amount of damage that it could do if Evander Kane for some reason doesn't stay or doesn't work out. He really kind of covered himself as well as you can in this day and age on that front. I don't like the Marleau replacement comparisons. I don't, just because I just look at Evander Kane's not going to win any Lady Bings, all right?
That's true.
Well, I think that those comparisons are being made just for on a, you know, based on scoring so many goals. Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think I don't think that Evander Kane has the potential to be a scorer where Marleau has scored a lot of goals. But I'm not sure I don't like the comparison. I think it's just weak narrative, and I don't like it. Evander Kane's Evander Kane. Patrick Marleau's Patrick Marleau. It's time to move on.
Yeah. I heard we okay, here we go. Putt guy centric portion of the show. The Sharks have also signed a delicious goal to 2-year extension. Is this delicious goalie, is that Eric? Are you okay with that signing? See, I tried to get as many word plays in there for him as I could.
Wow. I mean, just steal my material. Why don't you? Jeez.
I don't think that's very fair.
Oh, man.
But can you dig it?
Wow. You know, I got no words except for Dell, you got a nice goaltending contract. I hope it's okayest for you. I think it's a good deal. I wasn't expecting as high, but considering what he's done for this team over the last couple of seasons, he's earned it. But yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's not, let's be real here, guys. At least it's not like the $10 million that Dallas was paying for Niemi and Lehtinen.
I think you're being a little conservative with those numbers, but okay. Ian, you're happy to have Dell for another 2 seasons?
I don't mind the deal. I think the deal's high. I don't have a problem with it because Dell's really never made any money in this league or never made any real money making. And this is probably going to be the contract where he actually makes some real change. And you know what? I'm fine with him getting it. If this, it's a little bit of an overpayment though, and I do concede that. And if that kind of overpayment continues into other contracts like Tierney and Hurdle, I will like it a lot less. If it's a trend that goes into the summer into free agency, I'll like it a lot less because look at it from everything points to the Sharks making a UFA splash this offseason. And cap space is the premium. I mean, cap space is the currency of life in the NHL right now. So as long as you did eat into that a little bit, but let's be honest, the Sharks are going to be flush with cap space this summer. So as long as it doesn't carry too much into overpaying Hurdle or Tierney, for example, I'm okay with it.
Well, and who's to say that maybe this deal, it ends up working out really well for the Sharks because coming into next season in camp, whether it's Bebo or somebody just has, some breakout where you kind of get that logjam again of Nabokov, Toskala, Kiprasov, you have to move one of them. This is a deal that will be, I would imagine, very tempting for other GMs who are looking for a goalie.
Therein lies maybe why there was a little bit of overpayment in that there is no clause like, that Doug has done. Has Dell deserved a no trade, no move? Probably not.
That has nothing to do with it because we know Wilson loves handing those out.
Right, but I'm saying that maybe there was a little bit more of a price tag to make sure that he could be tradable in the near future.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
I mean, the only other backup I can think of that makes that kind of money is, I think, Bernier in Colorado, though. I mean, the Sharks, if we're being honest with each other and putting our like of Aaron Dell aside, the Sharks could have gone cheaper and found a similar goalie in the offseason. I think that has to be said. But, I mean, there's something to be said for loyalty, so I'm okay with it.
Finally for Shark Bites, it has now been 10 games. I think we've reached a record stretch at this point that the Sharks have not scored a power play goal. 10 games. Let me just put this in. The Thursday, February 8th was the last time the Sharks scored a power play goal. Tomorrow is March as we're recording this. So how do you go 3 weeks without scoring a power play goal? I've lost track of how many opportunities. I know it's somewhere around 22, 23, but come on. I mean, and obviously getting Evander Kane should help that. But just a quick fun one. The Sharks have 5 more. They got a nice 5-game homestand to start off March. And there's a lot of time in between there. I mean, they play Thursday, off 2 days Sunday, then off 3 days to play another Thursday. So there's nice kind of a lull in the schedule here. So they're going to have an opportunity to practice the power play, but I'll just put it out right now. Eric, how many more games till the Sharks score a power play goal? Just number off the top of your head.
Hopefully just two.
All right. Ian, how many more games?
Tomorrow. I think you look at the power play, one of the problems with the power play has been that, you know, the inconsistencies have also had plenty to do with just health of players. I mean, Brent Burns is a big part of the power play. He was banged up for a few games. Thomas Hertl, as we mentioned, just came back. I mean, the units have been bounced around and mixed up, and there's something you said for the health. I'm not saying that's the entire story, but I think that's definitely a big part of it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So that closes the books for Shark Bites. And of course, we move on to our three stars of the week, or what we like to call.
Oh, good for you.
And as always, we start with the number third star for the week. Eric, who is yours?
My third star, I'm going to go with Timo Meier. He's still playing very well. And this time, you know, last game against Edmonton, he does it on the third line. He's starting to pick up the pace again. Timely goals. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, he got credit for the game winner.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's getting those timely goals, whether it's a tying goal against Anaheim, like we saw earlier the year. Now he's getting these goals. Because, of course, in life, as in hockey, it takes goals to win. Yeah, Timo's just been doing the hard work. He's been taking some abuse too, behind the play. I noticed that in the game against Edmonton as well. But he's doing his thing, so he gets my number three.
Timo, to me, is kind of reminding me just a little bit of like Jeremy Roenick, not in his game, like not the way he plays or anything, but timely goals. And when for that brief time that Roenick was here, he didn't have a whole bunch of goals, but they were very meaningful versus, you know, I remember a lot of times when people were excited, oh, Milan Mihalik, he scored. And I'm like, oh, what was the situation? Well, the Sharks were up 4-0 and it was, you know, 2 minutes left. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, great. Good for him. You know? So anyway, my third star of the week, of course, goes to the one and only Drew Remenda, for being a hell of a nice guy, sweetheart of a dude that I was able to bump into at the Oilers Sharks game. So you get my third star. Ian, your third I don't know. Does he constricted to just a week, or since like this is the first time he's been on forever, you know?
I'll play by the rules. I'll go for just a week. I'm going to go. My third star is going to be Joakim Ryan. Joakim Ryan, you know, goal and assist. But I've been so impressed with his ability to just adapt to the NHL system. Is he a perfect defenseman? No. But the way he has adapted to the NHL game so quickly and so seamlessly, I think there's something to be said for that. And so I've always been a big fan of Joakim Ryan, but I think now everyone's starting to see why.
Second star. And of course, dude, my second star, it's hello, you give it to Evander Kane. Guy came in, helped, you know, the 5-on-5 right away, got assists on the first two goals that the Sharks scored versus the Oilers. So Evander Kane, second star for me, and hopefully a lot more to come. Ian, your second.
My second star of the week is going to be Justin Braun, going on defenseman run for some reason. I think for a couple of reasons. I think one, that rocket yesterday. I mean, it's just an awesome shot. My second favorite rocket, as I tweeted out yesterday, next to a Miss Rocket backhander. You know, I just, Justin Braun's a guy who I think takes a ton of crap that he probably doesn't deserve. And, you know, when they held him out that, you know, for his flu, I was like thinking like, you know, this is a guy who I think is, you know, when trade when trade things come up and you look at, you know, guys that have are, you know, valuable on the Sharks that could fetch a return, I think Justin Braun's name doesn't come up nearly enough. He might be one of the best trade pieces the Sharks have right now.
I would absolutely agree with that.
It's not terrible money. He doesn't have any clauses. And I think that maybe he's not a 1-2 defenseman on every team in the NHL, but I don't think there's an NHL team where he falls into the bottom pair. Like, he's a top four defenseman, no matter where you put him in the league today. And I think that says plenty for Justin Braun.
And for all that was stipulated, or I should say speculated on about Erik Karlsson, and the Sharks were into Erik Karlsson, my go-to thing was, oh, okay, I would assume Braun gets, you know, goes the other way in that deal or something. But
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Erik, your second for the week.
My second of the week goes to Eric Fair. I think he's done a pretty decent job with the fourth line, working great with the PK. He's blocked a number of shots. You're getting the maximum benefit out of it, and you give up a seventh round pick in 2020 for him. He's played very well. I mean, faceoff wise, he's played phenomenal as well, which, you know, one of the things that's highly important, especially in the fourth line, when you are getting matched up against, you know, probably the top units of the league. So Eric Fair, even though you don't spell your name the right way, you get the second star.
Yeah, I suppose that's a fair choice. We go on to our first star of the week, and we'll start with you, Ian, and your number one.
My number one star of the week is going to be the captain, Joe Pavelski, who I think, yes, he slowed down, and yeah, I understand a lot of the criticisms, even that we, even on After Dark, sometimes throw his way. But I think it's you know, all he's done since Thornton's gone down has put points on the board, whether they be goals or assists or whatever. I mean, he keeps quietly leading by example. Yes, he's not the most fleet of foot, and you know, he's never been, but this idea that he's this big detriment to the Sharks offense is garbage.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a reason why his nickname is Pokey. I'm just, you know,
sure, but you know what though, okay, so maybe Joe Pavelski, you know, next year isn't your top line guy. Could he be your second line or third line guy? Absolutely. Like, oh, I don't understand this universe that we live in where once a guy's no longer able to be on the first line, he's garbage.
Yeah, I don't agree with that either. I think maybe one of the reasons why you're seeing some people kind of bag on him a little bit as of lately is just, I think they're kind of wondering, well, wait a minute, he used to get in front of the net and tip pucks, and it's like, dude, Thornton is not here right now. Like, positions change.
Yeah, you have to, you know, you can't play the last two games, you know, those last games, especially like the Chicago, the end of the Minnesota game, where you can't even get in the zone for any period of time, and then, you know, you have to have time to get set up and get in front of the net. You can't just be there. I mean, that's, you know, offsides are there for a reason, guys.
Yeah, no kidding. Eric, you're numero uno.
Man, Pavelski is a good choice. I was going to go with him as my number one star, but I'm going to go with the PK unit. I mean, while we can bang the drum on the power play, this PK unit has been fairly well. There you go. You're welcome. Keeping it as the top PK in the league, and yeah, they did let in one. I forget which game it was, but they've played very well. They haven't let them down, of sorts, unlike the power play. It's a nice change to see, because we were talking about a couple of years ago about how horrific the PK was and how that probably cost them some games and playoff positioning for that matter. So PK unit, you're my number one star week, and an honorable mention to Troy Grosnick. All the best to you as you are now a member of the Nashville organization.
I'll say this. That power play, that penalty kill unit's going to get has its work cut out for him now with Evander Kane. So if there's one thing Evander Kane can do, it's put pucks in the net and take a crap ton of penalties.
Yeah. We've got the, you know, one of the best, we've got the best PK in the league. And also Evander Kane, hold my beer. My number one star for the week is just going to be 5-on-5 scoring, because Lord knows the Sharks power play can't do anything. So 5-on-5 scoring. You've at least brought something to the party. because about two games ago, my power play drum broke. I need to go get it repaired, purchase a new one, something. So those are the three stars of the week. And if you were named one of them.
Oh, good for you.
It's been a while, probably since, you know, Ian has played this game. So, of course, we must do what we must do. Around the horn, baby. And let's be honest, the only thing that's worth talking about for around the horn are any major deals that were done. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, deadline was, a couple days ago. Everybody knows what happens. It's been beaten to death. It's been, you know, talked until you're blue in the face. But is there anything that now that you've had a day or two to kind of stand back from it, maybe you thought about something like a deeper dive into it, or you're just kind of like, well, okay, here's all these are the obvious winners. Here's the obvious rebuilders. I mean, Ian, what is standing out for you on it, or even something that you were, say, surprised at? I mean, for as much speculation about Erik Karlsson being traded, and for all we know, Doug Wilson was leaking it out there that the Sharks are really into it and they're really trying to only to try to drive up the price for somebody else when he had no desire whatsoever to get Karlsson.
I don't know. I think if you're a GM, that's obviously not Ottawa, and you don't want Erik Karlsson. I mean, even if you're a GM in Ottawa and you don't want Erik Karlsson, you should probably be fired at this point. I mean, Erik Karlsson's a one in a kind defenseman. I just don't think that the trade deadline, I mean, I know there was a lot of teams probably pushing for it. The Sharks and Vegas were, you know, really heavily supposed to be involved. But I don't think that when you're Ottawa and you're looking for roster players, you're not going to get them at the deadline. This is a trade that's probably going to be completed around the draft when, you know, you might get more picks and you can get roster players. But no one's going to dismantle their forward core to get Erik Karlsson and then go into the playoffs with a depleted forward core. Like, no, you know, I mean, the amount of roster players they wanted, no one's doing that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I'm not surprised a deal didn't get done for Erik Karlsson, but I think that it's probably going to be a thing. I know Erik Karlsson came out and said he's happy to still be in Ottawa, but I think that you have to, right? I mean, this is just once.
I want to see a guy come out and we see it so much where, especially when it's a few days beforehand and mm-hmm. there's speculation being bandied about, whispers here and there, and the rumors are flying heavy. And they ask the players, you know, so your name coming up in the rumors of trade, what do you think about that? Well, it's not up to me. I'm just here to play. Just once, I want to hear a guy go, yeah, I really want to get the hell out of here.
We had that once. That happened once. Roberto Luongo came out and said his bajillion-dollar contract sucked, and he got absolutely massacred for it. So I'm not surprised that players just take the high road now and be like, well, I guess, you know, I'm here to play, and I'm happy to be here, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, I think, especially this time of year, I mean, now Ottawa's not really playing for anything at this point, but I still think, you know, at this time of year, guys, they just want to get out. You know, they want to get through the season, whether it's to get to the playoffs or to get to the golf course, they just want to get through the season at this point. It's a grind.
Yeah. Erik, anything that popped out for you for the trades? Cause the one that really kind of stood out for me that I didn't see coming was like Tatar.
Yeah, Tatar was a kind of the surprising one. And thankfully, Vegas, you know, can have a bajillion draft picks to just give up to Detroit. But I think overall, just the high price tags for all these trades that did occur, you saw a plethora of first rounders go, like for Winnipeg, who, you know, and tell me you're wrong, guys, Shevel Dayoff doesn't do too many crazy deals where he gives up his first to get Paul Stastny. But I mean, there were some trades that helped a lot of teams that are going to go for it all. And teams got a decent amount back in return. All right. Well, more than decent. I think even maybe more than they expect. So that was the more surprising thing for me, but I think the one that stood out the most would be like that one with McDonough and oh gosh, why can't I think of this?
The Lightning.
Yeah, the Rangers and Lightning.
Yeah.
Just the haul that the Rangers got in return, not just in that trade, but also the one for Boston with Rick Nash. The Rangers have loaded up on picks and players, and there might be some pain in Rangers town, but shoot, they got a lot of assets to get that back in a hurry.
Yeah, you brought up a lot of good trades there. I mean, I don't mind the Tatar trade. I know the Tatar trade's kind of getting killed because of the price tag. I don't mind it. Vegas needs to have players that are going to play there beyond this year. They have so many UFAs at the end of the season. We have no idea what this team's going to look like. It's a gamble. Tatar's a gamble at that price. Don't get me wrong. But this guy signed till 2021, which is, you can't say that for many Vegas Golden Knights at this point. So I kind of like that from a long game perspective. I like that you brought up the Stastny trade to the Jets. I think if you look at the Jets, I mean, they've had their first round picks. You have your Ehlers in the lineup now. You have your Patrick Laine. You can't wait for another guy to develop. You need to start putting pieces into that lineup now to win now if you're the Jets, because you're starting to come into your, you know, I don't want to say their window's super wide open, but I think that they're definitely on their way to being a contender for some time to come, and you have to start plugging those holes. You can't wait for more kids to come up, because then you're wasting a Shifley's window, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to start doing so. I like the fact that the Jets stopped being this, well, we're building for the future, we're building their futures now, and I'm glad that they finally acknowledged that. Now if I'm a St. Louis fan, I'm livid.
oh man livid. I mean, I'll start with Winnipeg first in that sense, just because, you know, apparently I have a thing for teams that have INN in their name.
INN, yes, we know.
Yeah, but I think you hit it bang on the head. Winnipeg looks dangerous. Connor. AG, that's your cue. Connor.
No.
Oh, won't do it. Fine. Hello, Buck. Has played beyond anybody's expectation.
I only do that for Eric, and you know this.
Well, I thank you. I appreciate that.
Wrong.
but Hellebuck's played awesome. You have Laine, you have Wheeler, you have Shifley. Right. I mean, who knows?
Ehlers.
You know, Ehlers.
There's so many kids. Like they have kids. They need some veteran presence.
All this with Trouba out, for that matter, too. I mean, you know, I think finally this franchise will win a playoff game, and they might win more than just a playoff series.
Ouch.
You know, I mean, but nonetheless, watch out for the Jets. As for St. Louis, oh man, I have a lot of friends in St. Louis on Twitter, and they are so livid. Maybe not as livid as Braden Shen was, but damn.
This St. Louis Blues season brought to you by the letters F and U.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, are you shocked that it? I mean, it didn't surprise me that they got their butts so thoroughly handed to them yesterday. Because if you're a player, you know, I mean, that's what the trade deadline is. I mean, that's when your GM sends a message to your team about how he feels about your chances. And when you send a Stastny away and don't bring anything else in, I mean, what's that message to your team? And then they go and get schlacked 8-3. No crap.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to be real happy once like Vegas finally like exhausts their insane amount of picks that they received. I mean, come on. That was so ridiculous. That was the thing that really upset me the most about that whole thing. Like, you know, how interesting would the Sharks have been if they had gotten that opportunity or any other expansion team? I mean, just ridiculous. And the fact that every team had that opportunity where it's, you know, well, you can protect, what was it, like 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, sure, or you can, you know, pick these 8 names, whatever it was. But the fact that people were trading or essentially giving them draft picks to essentially tell them, okay, don't take this other guy either. You know, there's this other guy we want to protect, so here's a draft pick. Like, no, that is so not fair and not, you know, falling within the realms of like respecting this whole process. I just thought that was ridiculous.
But look at, like, I mean, we've seen, here's the thing. I mean, the expansion fee that Vegas paid in comparison to the expansion fee anyone else paid was astronomical. For
until you ask what Seattle pays.
But they're going to get the same. They're going to get the same deal.
Yeah.
But look at, I mean, the Sharks, well, here, I don't think, I think that the danger now is that I don't think Vegas is the norm. Vegas is an outlier. Look at, no one looked at half of these players that are putting up 50 points now and when they were taken and thought, oh man, this is a team. I mean, we all thought this team was going to be junk.
Yeah. Everybody looks at the standings right now in the Pacific and says, if you flip Edmonton,
Eric Hall is going to be a 50 point guy. No one thought William Karlsson.
I'm a Hall boy. Yeah.
I know. But like, you know what I mean though? Like the players, like, yeah, James Neal, we thought would have a good season, but we never, like some of these other guys that had a good season, no one saw this coming. No one, like, I don't care how smart hockey wise you think you are. No one saw this coming. And if you said you did, you're a liar.
No, Vegas flu is real, people. Vegas flu is real. Okay. No one thought this was coming. If you look at the Pacific Division standings as it stands today, if you take the names Edmonton and Vegas and flip them, you'd go, yeah, that looks right.
Yeah. So AJ, you love holla. Saying you do. Does he ever holla back at you?
No. But I'm not.
So
I'm
he
not
ain't no holla back boy.
No. Boy, he's just really trying to wedge in Hellebuck. I'm telling you.
He's no, I would wedge to... wood Hellebuck.
Oh, dear Lord.
Jerk, see, Rocket, do you see what happens when you're not here? Do you see what happens?
This is why it's so rare when he's on. No. Anyway, the only other final thing I think we need to touch on before we get out of here is Doug Wilson kind of stole my thunder, to be honest with you. I was hoping to get some time with him in the next week or so to pick his noodle, but then he comes right out and has a little, like, 25-minute presser on Facebook today just doing random questions. I wasn't able to see it, but our own Ian Reed wrote up an article about that for TealTownUSA.com. Anything, you know, a couple bullet points you can share with everybody before they – you know, type in TealTownUSA.com on their browser and go check it out.
They should just go check out the article, really. But no, but I don't think there was
okay, much.
I don't think there was much surprising. Like, there wasn't anything that came out of it. Look at.
Well, when has Doug Wilson ever been interviewed and somebody went, correct. Wow, I can't believe that.
Rusinowski was doing the, was
moderating
on the thing with him. He was moderating it. So he's not going to throw Doug Wilson anything faster than a medium speed ball. Let's be honest.
Of course. Nothing that he's not waiting for.
And that's not a slight against Rusinowski. That's
the way it is.
It's the way it is. I mean, I'm sorry. Even if I got to sit down with Doug Wilson, I'm not flinging fastballs at him because I'd like to talk to him at some point in the future.
Yeah.
Rusinowski is an employee of the Sharks. What is he going to do?
Right. Ask Remenda about these things.
Right. I think that, you know, a couple of things didn't really surprise. Obviously, the Dell extension was announced. The other thing is obviously if you're waiting for the teardown to happen, it's never going to happen under his watch. This is something he said 100 times, but it seems like, you know, this was the year when everything was going south, that, oh man, you know, at least the teardown's going to come. At least the teardown should be soon. It's not coming. This is why the Evander Kane deal happened, because he's going to continually tinker with this team on the fly. He acknowledges it's a harder way to win, but he says he can't go to a coach or a player and say, we're just going to suck for 7 years, especially after signing long-term deals with guys like Burns, Vlasic, Jones. You know, you can't go to them and be like, okay, well, now you don't have a chance of winning. Thanks for giving us the next 7 years of your career.
Yeah.
So I think that wasn't really a surprise. Other than that, I think, you know, he's high on some of his kids in the college system and has kind of used that to try and take attention off of the strip mine Barracuda. There are some good prospects in college though that hopefully will come over. Other than that, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of the questions were like, oh, what about Tavares? To which he sheepishly replied that in order to answer that question, you know, Hassel has the $1 million to answer that question, but he doesn't want to lose the first round pick.
Yeah.
Because that would be tampering.
Exactly. So, all right. You want to learn more about what General Manager Dougie Wilson had to talk about today, then TealTownUSA.com. Check out Ian's article on that. Between now and the next Pucknologist, with any luck, the Sharks will play themselves two games versus Chicago. Jeez, didn't we just see these guys? And the Columbus Blue Jackets. Eric, I mean, what do you think for those two games? I think they should both be wins. I think the boys should be fired up. Another goddamn Sunday game. God, you guys are killing me with these Sunday games, but another damn Sunday game. I swear to God, it's like the NHL schedulers just were like, okay, we're going to take advantage of the fact that we've got people just automatically watching sports on Sundays because of the last 18 weeks of football. So let's just continue with that. And I'm like, no, Sharks hockey. It's always been Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, like almost religiously, but stop it. Anyway, Eric, what are they going to do for Blackhawks and Blue Jays?
I say they're going to beat the Blackhawks 4-1, thanks to two goals from Mikael Bodker. You're welcome, hockey jerk. And they will beat the Neon Buggers 7-0. You're welcome, Rocket.
Oh, my God. Rub a lamp. I love these, though. Those are both very jerk and Rocket-esque type answers for that.
That's because I love them both.
Oh, man. And remember, Chicago basically rolling with a backup with the injury to Crawford on IR. So, Ian, those two games, what do you think?
Oh, rolling with a backup. Yeah, I was going to say that there was going to be a big redemption day in Chicago, but now I'm not so sure. no, you know what? They should, if they don't come back and stick it to the Blackhawks after the pitiful effort they put up the last time they found the Hawks, I'm going to be very angry. There could be ranting. It might be in writing. I might just go on YouTube and yell into a camera by myself.
Found the nearest mountaintop and just
pretty
shout.
Much and just shout. You know what? I'm gonna say they beat the Blackhawks. I hate doing scores because I just don't.
I never do them anymore. Right. I got one right once, and I've been like, you know, hanging my hat on it ever since.
I think it's going to be a regulation win. That's as far as I'm going to go. Columbus is an interesting team. I don't think they're completely out of it. They're not in it. I don't think they're completely out of it either, though. So they're fighting for their lives.
Did they make any specific splash whatsoever coming on into the deadline? I don't remember hearing their names mentioned at all.
No, I think they wanted to maybe move on from Jack Johnson and get something for him before he goes UFA, but I don't think they really did anything significant. I don't know. I think the Jackets are a pretty decent team. I
don't know. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Good things don't happen to John Tortorella.
That's true. You know what? I like the Sharks to win both these games. I think they're at home. I think they're rejuvenated a little bit. I think that having Evander Kane lineup, if he can continue doing what he did against Edmonton in his debut, and he can, you know, and that's contagious to the rest of the team, then, you know, the Sharks team's still good enough to win games, and I think that they could win both these games.
There you go. And if you want to have a little fun during one of the intermissions, go pick up the Columbus feed and watch what Jody Shelley has to say. Should be
nice,
interesting, yes, for about 2 seconds. No. Oh, I'm kidding.
Jody Shelley's going to come and find you now.
I know. Well, I have John Scott's phone number. I'm okay. No. So, Ian, final thoughts on where the people can find you on the social?
You can find me at Ian Blogs Hockey. You can also find I've written about 3 articles now for Teal Town USA, and there's going to be plenty more to come. So look forward to that. I occasionally show up on After Dark. I occasionally do this other podcast called Teal Tinted Glasses. You can find me on. Appreciate all your support. Thanks for having me on, AJ.
You got it. Eric, what about you?
It's Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. We love you, Rockin' and Jerk, at 8:08 p.m. Well, that's true. But the Sharks still have not scored a power play goal.
Not where I thought you were going with that, but okay.
What? Parents, do you know where your power play goals are?
Yes. Exactly.
No, I thought it was, you know, it's 8:09 p.m. on, you know, February 27th, or on February 28th, and Yannick Hansen is still on the Sharks roster.
Or we can, yeah, well, that's true. Nonetheless, you can follow me on Twitter and the Instagram at PuckGuy14. You know, I usually do some show after every game called Teal Town After Dark, along with making fancy little pictures. Or if you've seen on my Instagram, a picture of Logan Couture looking at me like, what the heck are you taking a picture of me for? You can check that out there.
Nice.
He was really angry in that picture.
As he should be. No. I am AJ underscore strong on the Twitter and on the Instagram. Also doing some gramming here and there for Teal Town USA and being a part of TealTownUSA.com as a whole. Shout out to the guy who shouted out to me yesterday on the way to the game, Teal Town USA. I appreciated that. I take all forms of feedback, and if shouting from a moving car is one of them, I don't mind. So join us for episode 44 next week, and subscribe as always to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, whatever podcast platform you use. Follow us on Twitter at PuckKnowledges. And hey, you know what? I actually like went and looked and noticed like we haven't gotten a review on iTunes in like, I don't know, 3 years. That's so it, yeah. So if you got a hot minute, we all know that our current goofball in chief in the White House right now loves to spend him some time on the cell phone when he's on the throne. By all means, do it yourself and leave us a little review while you're having, sitting for two, if you get what my meaning. Anyway, there's no way that can be the intro. Okay, show 44 next time, guys. We'll take it easy. See you later.